The following is a KMOX sports special.
Our city, our spirit.
Welcome to the City Spotlight.
It's in! City goal!
Now, your host, Jen Cease, on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome into the downtown studios of KMOX Radio. I'm Jen Cease, and I'll be your host tonight following Matt Pauley's Sports Open Line for a one-hour edition of the City Spotlight. Daniel Hinkamp is riding alongside me to help out with some guests and some audio for tonight's show as we talk about our first team, our first MLS team here in St. Louis City, who's had a rough go, if you paid any attention at all. Very different season, of course, this third year compared to their inaugural season. I remember it all too well. The club this year has been challenged with coaches back at the end of May, changing coaches at the end of May, interim head coach stepping in for Olaf Melberg with the big job of not just taking over the team, but managing at the time a roster plagued with injuries, rotating lineups, and really swinging the pendulum back to a more identifiable city style of play and really figuring out what that upgraded version of the city style of play looks like compared to the very first year, as a club should grow and change over time. And of course, as last week, we talked about it on the City Spotlight, the club without a sporting director. Lutz Pfannenstiel is out with his job duties being now managed by president and GM Diego Gigliani alongside technical director. And he's also the City 2 coach, stepping in for Critchley, who's now the first team coach, John Hackworth. Now, with the larger roster, with newer players from the transfer window, plus most players back from injury, at least with availability, if not for tons of minutes just yet, there is more hope, I would say, in these last six games of the season. Now, City does not have an official E, that little E next to their name. There are only teams in the MLS right now that I saw before the show were Montreal and DC United. They have been eliminated statistically from playoff contention, but it's likely coming. And the team, of course, is looking to play for contracts. They're looking to play for the next season and what that might look for players, for staff, for coaches. Coach David Critchley looking to make a case for himself as well, and still not only not finished out the season with the wooden spoon, being in last place, which, by the way, City is only 2 points right now ahead of LA Galaxy. So that's how tight it's gotten there towards the bottom. But to really not to really not just have the wooden spoon, but to finish strong as well. We did get to hear from David Critchley alongside Marcel Hartl. David Critchley first spoke a little bit about from the press conference today, the team really needing that balance, the fact that the team can score, but to be mindful of letting those goals in and breaking some bad habits.
Yeah, I think for us, I've spoken about the word balance quite a lot. That's massively important. We know we can create goals. We know we can score. We know we can create a lot of chances. But we have to also be mindful that we're conceding goals. So right now, one of the objectives is to try and break bad habits that some of the guys might have had throughout the season. And not just break bad habits, but develop new habits as well. So that's something that just takes time. You know, you can't make a fix in a couple of weeks. So I will give the guys credit. They are applying themselves every day against the ball. I had a meeting today actually with Cello here on some defending stuff, and these guys understand the moments. It's important that we don't concede goals. But, you know, we just keep going every single week. We have to create more chances, and then we have to limit the opponent.
And not just that, of course, having the results, but there is that deep desire, not only from David Critchley himself, but also all the members of the St. Louis City team, and even you can take it all the way to the front office staff, to make sure that win, lose, or draw, preferably the result, but making sure that the fans that come out there and wave the flags every game, that haven't given up, the ones that maybe you've given up a little bit, might want to come back, that they come away from each and every performance. And we've got another home game this weekend. They come away from that excited.
I think so. You know, again, one of my first and main objectives when I stepped in was to give the fans entertainment, to make them come to this stadium or watch us on television when we play away and be excited. You know, one of my first messages that I gave was every time we finish playing on the weekend, if the fans can tell me that they're excited to switch on the television again next week, I think that's a great entertainment factor. And we've had a lot of games that are 3-2s, 3-1s. Unfortunately, we fell on the wrong side of the scoreline a few times. But with saying that, we show that we can score goals. We show that we can create chances. We just have to make sure that on the defending side, we continue to try and build good habits and build better habits for the group. And that's something that we're spending a lot of time on, a lot of focus on, a lot of energy on. So even last week, there was moments where we weren't vulnerable too much defensively. We had a couple of individual actions that let us down in key moments. But overall, we were pretty good. You know, defending-wise against a very tough Vancouver. You know, I know I keep bringing it up, but we are talking about defending. We conceded zero in the run-up play, and we had those calls that we all know were the wrong calls. So there is growth there, even though you've looked at the last two games and we've said, six goals conceded. Not a lot of times we're getting broke down and cut through. It's mostly just, you know, shoring up some of the individual actions that we need to improve on, for sure. And then the week before, it was just a couple of bad calls that didn't go our way.
Yeah, and also the team, I was at training on Tuesday to get our City player profile, which we will have later in this hour with Henry Kessler. And I'll tell you what, when you stand there at training, you don't notice that you wouldn't know what the record of this team was when it comes to the energy of performance and guys fighting for their jobs and fighting for each other as teammates. And Critch talked about that today in terms of the team really being bought into not just not wanting the wooden spoon, but really having pride in finishing the season strong.
Right now, all we can do is focus on the next six games and trying to put out a competitive lineup, but build something special. And that's something that we are behind the scenes working on constantly. You know, I always tell people, you only see this team in 90 minutes on a weekend. Or the world only sees this team for 90 minutes on a weekend. But what is going on behind the scenes right now, how they apply themselves, how they show up every single day knowing where they are in the standings, but still giving 110% every training session. That's a lot of admiration I have for this group. So we're going to finish this season strong. I have no doubt everybody is fully bought in to finishing this season strong, regardless if you think there's something or nothing to play for. There's a lot to play for, and that's the year 2026. So we're excited for that.
And of course, there's also dealing with adversity. And you can say it all the time you want. It's a frustrating thing to go to. It does usually provide an opportunity for growth, for lessons, for learning. And David Critchley talked a little bit about today about reflecting on those losses of not only he's filling in for a lost coach, but a sporting director and making sure that the team and the club as a whole comes out stronger on the other side.
It's a time to reflect, I think, first and foremost, and that's what we did. We reflected on you know, whether that was Coach Olof leaving, whether that was Lutz leaving. But when you go through adversity and resilience, you always come out stronger, as long as your mindset is in the right place. So this group have gone through a current sporting director, now a new coach. And again, I go back to what I said that these guys do on Monday to Friday is they show up every day with a growth mindset. They show up every day with an attitude and a determination to be better as a team. And that is massive credit to this group. I think a lot of the times we see on the weekend that we're just quite short of a result. There is a lot to fix in an organization before you get to the final result on the weekend. It's work ethic, it's culture, it's all of these details. And we are taking massive steps in the right direction. And I think pretty soon here, you're going to start to see results fall favorably for us.
And hopefully those results come this weekend against FC Dallas. We'll get some more perspective from Dale Schilly. He's our St. Louis City Academy Director. He's also right now an assistant coach for City, too, as everybody's filling in and kind of stepping up and doing a little bit more. And always our game analyst on Y98. Dale's going to give us his perspective on Critch's thoughts, plus a little bit from Marcel Hartl next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Chris said it also in his time before now that he said the team is working and the weekend, the whole world just see the weekend, 90 minutes, and I can say it as well to him. Nobody is seeing what he's doing in the locker room. I work very close to him. We have we try to have once a week our conversation to each other, and he put so much effort in this club, in this team, to make everybody in this team better. And I believe 100%. I stay behind Coach and Baggio and the whole staff. I stand behind them because I see how much effort they put every week in the games under the week to make everybody better, to get us the best preparation for the weekend. And these are one point that nobody sees, because just the weekend are important for the most parts of the world. but they are doing much, much more than just for the weekend, and they try to make everybody better.
That was City midfielder Marcel Hartl talking earlier today on the at the press conference when he was asked by St. Louis Post-Dispatch writer Tom Timmerman about, you know, why do you want to work so hard? The players consistently talk about wanting to do this for Coach David Critchley. Joining me now to talk about it and more, Dale Schilly, our Y98 game analyst, City Academy director, City 2 assistant coach. Dale, you're no stranger to players wanting to play for their coach. Marcel Hartl, Cello was pretty impassioned about that today.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think from a coach's perspective, you reap what you sow. And, you know, I think Critch has, and a number of coaches, obviously the ones that are most successful, tend to invest themselves more into the players, and the players respond to that level of investment. It's really, players can sniff out an imposter pretty quickly, and they can sniff out who's really believing in them and who's willing to go, you know, into battle with them week in and week out. And it appears that Critch is, from that perspective, has passed that particular litmus test.
You know, I go back to, I don't remember exactly which game it was, but when Klaus started scoring again, when he went on a spree and he started really coming out of shell, just prior in a press conference, David Critchley had kind of ended it saying, you know, and after this, I'm going to go meet with Joao Klaus and talk about, you know, getting him to score again. And there was a lot of flack. I remember sharing that, people being like, really, a coach is going to go talk to a goal scorer about how to score goals? And sometimes it really is just a personal connection, or maybe he just told him to, you know, kick the snot out of it, but Klaus certainly did, and kind of it takes. It is really not just knowing the game, but which buttons to push for each player, which is so different, you know, when you have so many players to deal with.
In a lot of ways, it's not rocket science. There's a lot of detail, and there's a lot of things that coaches at this level need to be able to manage and work their way through. But there are some common sense things that can be said. And look, it could have been. And I remember when Klaus went on that binge, you know, it could have been as simple as saying, put yourself in position to score goals and you're going to score goals. So, you know, again, you don't know what he said. You don't know what the conversation was like. Sometimes time is not rocket science. And to your point, sometimes just a matter of making a connection and letting the guy talk about his issues or concerns and then helping point him in the right direction.
And of course, I have to bring us back, Dale, too. We were both in the booth for the last game with Houston, which I just look back on kind of the timestamps of, you know, going down at 20 minutes and then going down by another goal at 50 and then by a third goal at 72. And it's one of those that you're like, I hope we can at least get one. And then within 3 minutes, 86 to 89, two goals, and thought there might be some hope there. You were reeling. I was reeling a little bit. It was disappointing. What can you take away from that in this last game? And of course, getting ready for Texas to come back to town with St. Louis with FC Dallas.
Yeah, there's a couple of big mistakes. You know, that from a critical part of the field. I don't know. I know where the data ended up. I don't know where it was during the course of the 85 minutes of the game before, you know, we started throwing caution to the wind and we got rewarded for it. But the mistakes, you know, just the missed marking situation in the 6-yard box, the inability to deal with a cross on the early service at the near post before it got to Kessler. You know, there were just a couple of moments there that just stand out to me that you have to be able to deal with at that level and not allow those goals. And it just stinks to work so hard to create chances and then to give up goals seemingly out of nothing. Is really disappointing for the guys. And look, tremendous goal by Leuven. Awesome to see Mekhi Joyner get a goal. I wonder if when he was dreaming of his first MLS goal, if it was with his head. I am sure not. But now another challenge. And what does this challenge bring? It's the same as the last one. Will we get caught in the horseshoe of death? Will we be able, or will we be willing to take risks to go forward to create chances, or are we going to get stuck on the ball 30 yards from goal and not be able to get in? Dallas will set up with three center backs and two wing backs that will tuck in, and they will clog the 18-yard box. And if you can't get there before they get organized, you will not get a chance off. So you've got to get forward quickly, and you've got to get guys into scoring position. You've got to get the ball there before they get organized.
And, of course, opportunities. You brought up Mekhi Joyner, who's out with the he kind of got two opportunities. He stepped up to maybe train with the U.S. youth national team, then get called in officially. Song Bin's going to be gone. That gives a chance for City 2 players. I think Brendan McSorley was at training to step into these roles. And could, again, the level from City 2, I know, to MLS, the first team is different. But certainly when Brendan or any of those others have stepped in, they've certainly brought a ton of energy. And maybe that's exactly what City needs this weekend.
Well, I would say, you know, Coach Hackworth gets a lot of credit because I've been alongside of him in the City 2 environment, and the environment he's created has helped guys take this next step forward. I don't think that there's any question about Hazi and his performance when he got called in and called in to play when guys were injured. Mekhi obviously has done well. McSorley deserves this. There's other guys in that group as well. I mean, Seth's been out training with them. There's other guys that have had really good seasons as well and are nearly deserving of the same opportunity, or they're deserving, but the opportunity isn't there yet. And at some point, you know, maybe it is. So it's a great opportunity for those guys. And it does say a lot about what's happening in the lower levels of the club to help continue to push guys up into the first team.
Thanks, Dale, so much. I look forward to seeing you on Saturday, and we'll go for that City win. Let's get 3 points.
Thank you.
That was Dale Schilly. He's St. Louis City Academy Director, City 2 Assistant Coach, and you can always hear him alongside Joey Zanaboni and myself at a City pregame show starting always 30 minutes before kickoff. So this weekend with a 7:30 kickoff, we start pregame on Y98 at 7 p.m. Joey has the call, Dale has the analysis, and I do in-game scoreboard reports along for other games that are always going on around the MLS, along with halftime and postgame, which is always fun. So that'll be, of course, this weekend as City take on FC Dallas, looking to extend their points, grabbing another three, hopefully in front of City fans at home. Hang with us on the City Spotlight. We're going to visit with another person and that really shares a lot of information, does a great job covering the team, Matt Baker. He's host of the Flyover Footy podcast, and he's up next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city, our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
It's definitely the latter part of that. Thomas has had a great week in training this week. I'm actually really excited if an opportunity is given to him on the weekend, because he's trained very, very, very hard and very well. So when players go through adversity and go through moments of either not playing well, not scoring goals, not starting in games, it doesn't happen for 1 or 2 weeks. It usually happens 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, and you have to truly go through it. Thomas has gone through it. I know that. I know he hasn't played as many games as he would like. We've had these conversations. But now he's in a good mindset. He's trained really well this week. If an opportunity is given to this weekend, I think he'll take it, and that'll be good for him.
That was City interim head coach David Critchley talking about somebody that's felt missing, because he has been from the lineup, at least starting and getting a lot of minutes for several games. That's Thomas Totland, who maybe we'll see starting at a right back position this weekend against FC Dallas. Joining me now to talk about that and more is Matt Baker, host of the Flyover Footy podcast. Matt, thanks for making time tonight. And what'd you think about that Thomas Totland comment?
Thanks for having me, Jen. It was fascinating given the past few weeks and the alliterations that we've had from David Critchley about Thomas Totland, because It is an interesting concept to hear about him going through adversity, going through difficult times, when a lot of those difficult times seem to have been in practice, having not been chosen for the lineup and happening behind closed doors. So it's an interesting moment to hear that on the heels of a 3-match losing streak.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, of course, for me, and I'm just speculating here, but for me, it's not that Thomas Totland can't attack, but I feel like probably some of it had to do with the fact that, you know, just the defensive part, right, against the ball, ended up being more of a liability than that attacking was getting the team at the time, and perhaps that's been buttoned up and he's ready to go.
Well, that's the hope. And it can't go without saying that Thomas Tatlin had been our best two-way option at right back. And that's been something St. Louis, whether it's David Critchley, John Hackworth, or in the St. Louis City system, and attacking right back has been almost necessary. But there have been numerous times this season with Tatlin in at right wing back or right back that we have been lacking in the back post defense. We've been lacking in 1v1 defending in space. And it's forced some of our center backs and our defensive midfielders to do additional things and cover space that they really shouldn't need to be covering if you have a high caliber right back playing two-way like that. And the options that we've seen since Thomas Tatlin has been out, which was the last time we played FC Dallas, funny enough, with them being our opponent this weekend.
That's
one story that I think is just it puts a bow on this if we actually see Tatlin this weekend. But the idea that it's not just a different style of player that we've seen in the interim with Tatlin not having played. Javier Orozco is that different style player playing out of position and fullback, a more defensive-minded player. And that was noteworthy when it went from Tatlin to Orozco, because you see that overcorrection of sorts, if not just a correction, to wanting a more defensive-minded right back and shifting around your priorities with Pedelford coming in afterwards to be able to have an attacking left back and a defensive-minded right back. But then lately seeing Konrad Vollem be prioritized over Thomas Tatlin. That, I think, that tells us all we need to know about what Critchley wants to do and his search and desire to find a player who he can count on to be that attacking right back and defending right back. And so if we see Tatlin this weekend, having proved or at least done enough, gone through it, as Critchley said, over training the past few weeks, I think we'll see an eager Thomas Tatlin at the very least. It'll be interesting to see how he performs if we see him.
Yeah, and then who moves, right? Because if that, let's play that out. I like when you guys do that on the Flyover Footy podcast. You know, you play that out, of course, and other it's a chessboard. Other things have to move. You've got an attacking right back, maybe in Thomas Tatlin. You've got a Devin Pedelford, who's not afraid to go forward either, so you're going to want to make sure there's balance there. And then also, who's in front of Thomas Tatlin? Because Sangbin will be out. Does that move Vollem up, do you think?
You know, that's the other interesting story to this, is the last time we saw Tatlin was FC Dallas back in July. Jen, that match right after FC Dallas, that was the debut of Sangbin Zhang and Devin Pedelford against Minnesota.
Right.
So we haven't yet seen Sangbin and Thomas Tatlin. And if we see Tatlin this weekend without Sangbin, I think that's only going to add to some of the conspiracy theories about how David Critchley sees the optimal usage of our right side attack and defense. So if you war games this out of sorts and you see Tatlin playing right back and you know you need maybe a little defensive help in that area, do you rely on maybe a defensive midfielder who can drop back if you need to, which we've seen Chris Durkin do a lot in helping with the defense? He drops back into kind of a right-sided center back look if we need to, with a right back pushing high up on the field. Saw him at the end of the game last weekend do that, in fact.
Yeah.
But in your right-sided attack, you have options like a Konrad Vollem, who does play well on the wing, but you also could go back to a look we previously saw this season, which is Simon Becher out there. And that offers just an interesting perspective in what we saw a couple of months ago, where Becher in defense would play on the right side, but then in the attack, he would push centrally almost above Klaus. And so it does open up space on the right side for a guy like Thomas Tatlin to push up. There are different approaches, I think, that you're looking to leverage the most out of a guy like Thomas Tatlin without covering him up and with giving him that space. But I still think it's going to be defensively that David Critchley focuses on. If he puts Thomas Tatlin out there, you have to shore up that right side on the defense. And I look to the defensive midfielder that he chooses between Durkin and Morales, probably, to be that person that really picks up the slack.
That was my next question. Who's your pick there?
I tend to go with Chris Durkin. I just like what he offers in those moments, the ability to take space that a defensive midfielder doesn't otherwise take, and his familiarity in dropping back into a three center back look at times, being able to cover that space defensively. And Alfredo Morales does a fantastic job in the defensive midfield, but the versatility of Chris Durkin, I'm just a fan of.
Yeah, you do. It's really kind of like they're different. You've got the the playing wisdom of Alfredo. Alfredo plays with a lot of wisdom that comes from his years. You know, when there are tackles, they're smart tackles. When there's passes, they're smart passes. We don't overwork and not do things that we shouldn't do. However, you're right. There's the versatility and that energetic response that Durkin always brings to his game, whether he's in a defensive midfielder. In fact, he has filled in at center back when City has needed him before. He can certainly help shore up a defense, which if you think about what Dale Shilley just said in our previous segment, that Dallas is going to look to pack the box. That if in other words, if City is not quick enough to make the chance in the box before Dallas can get organized, there's probably going to be fewer chances, which then could mean how important then is the defensive side to make sure we're not leaking goals where we're really trying to hard score one.
That's right. And Dallas did that the last time we played them. They're compact if they're allowed to set up. They like to hit on the counter. And so if you're not going to allow them to do that, then you have to be quick off the ball. You have to take those moments where you hopefully turn the ball over, even if it's in your defensive third, and you have to quickly move the ball up, and you have to do it with intention. That's why I like somebody who's able to move up and down the field like Chris Durkin if the game calls for it. But in a attacking role, you look for who's best in those transition moments. You can't rely on having one or two people just sitting up top. You have to be quick, and you have to have somebody who's good at progressive carries with the ball, and that's Konrad Vollem. So I have difficulty thinking about how an optimal City 11 goes out there, knowing that we're going to have not just creativity, but we're going to have quick movement from back to front, and carrying the ball is an easy way you can do that if you can generate space. And Konrad Vollem is one of the top three dribblers on our team, I would argue. But also, it could open up an opportunity to see more Celio Pompeu. Because Celio is
you read my mind, man. I was going to talk to you about that because I was thinking of Pompeu, and then I was thinking of Marcel Hartl, of course, who has also been able to guide. You know, Hartl likes to roam with a lot of free. You know, he can go central, but likes to roam. Doesn't mind coming in from that left side, and that is definitely Celio's sweet spot. And I know that fans have been called. You know, he's a fan favorite. People like his chutzpah. They like his creativity. I wonder if Kritsch might lean into that this weekend.
If he does, it's going to offer, I think, that different look between right to left, where over the past few weeks, Song Min-jeong has been that quick player that we need on the right side who can get in behind the lines and deliver a quality pass from really wide right. And if you don't have that, which I've talked plenty of times on Flyover about not having that second option to Song Bin who can replace him like for like, that was one of the reasons he was so impactful to our team, is that he offers something that we haven't had yet on the right. How do you almost cover for that? And do you use a player out on the left who has a speedier profile, a Celio versus a Hartl? And Hartl, not that he's not speedy, that's just not his game to take the ball and dribble it in behind the lines. He's better working, I would say, in front of the lines, being creative and helping the ball carrier. So you slot him maybe centrally. The tough thing is you're looking at a few really quality ball carriers in Celio, Hartl, Thomas Ostrak and Konrad Vollem, and you need to find spots for them or think about who can replace you later in the game, who's going to still be an option off the bench now that you're a little bit shallower on the bench in the attack. Now you don't have Song Bin, and you also don't have Mekhi Joiner available.
Right.
How are you going to make sure you have that continuity later in the game? Could be just as important as the starting 11, given our propensity to not perform well late in games.
Yeah, but last but not least, Matt, and I'll let you go. I appreciate your time tonight. Is I couldn't let it not be mentioned that they talked about it in the press conference that Joey Zielinski will not be with City as he's going on loan for the rest of the season with Indy 11 in the USL. Kritsch talked about him today. I'm sure you heard about him being a true team player. I mean, this is really a chance to make sure that Joey gets a chance to play more. And how do you feel about that move for right now?
I think it's a smart one for right now. You get an extra opportunity to play at a higher caliber with in the USL Championship with the Indy 11 as opposed to MLS Next Pro, and you're not taking up a spot from somebody in the organization as well. You can still use a Tyson Pierce, Miguel Perez, whoever you want to use at right back on City 2, but this gives Zielinski a chance to see good competition, and he wasn't going to see that opportunity unless there was an injury to City. And he saw moments earlier in the season. We saw flashes of brilliance, especially in those magical U.S. Open Cup matches. But at this point, we're talking about Thomas Totland struggling to see the field. Zielinski's behind Totland, and he's fourth in the depth chart at this point. So it was a necessary move for the long-term benefit of Joey Zielinski, and it really doesn't hurt City at this point in time.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for your time tonight. I look forward to hearing your next podcast, and hopefully we'll join again soon.
Can't wait. Thanks, Jen.
That was Matt Baker. He's host of the Flyover Footy podcast. You could follow him, by the way, on Twitter, X, or whatever we call that nowadays, at Matt Baker STL. He does great updates for the team and about City in general. Make sure you follow his account. And Matt always mentions he's not afraid, of course, to say things how they are, but I always appreciate Matt's positive spin wherever he can get it on the team and on the club here in the city. One more segment to go, so stay right here. It's a preview of our Y98 pregame show player profile, this time with City center back Henry Kessler, who's next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Jen Cease back for the last segment of the City Spotlight. I can't believe this hour is almost done, but this is a good segment. Don't go anywhere yet. Don't go anywhere yet because it's worth hearing. Henry Kessler, our city center back, he was our very first player profile of the 2025 season back in February, actually live on this show. Me and myself are joined by Dale Schilly, who you heard in the second segment of this show, our Y98 analyst, St. Louis City Academy director, was my co-host. And Henry called in from preseason training. I don't remember if they were in California or Florida by that time, but he called in for, I think it was California, preseason training. It was cold here in St. Louis. It was warmer where the team was. And we really wanted to get a look back on what the journey looked like so far from the February to now, of course, Henry Kessler having an injury in the middle of the season. He's really had to fight his way back. And he's a really thoughtful and introspective player as it is. And it was really great to hear his thoughts about how the journey's gone so far with just six games left in the season.
Yeah, it flies by, doesn't it? And I feel like so does 6 years as a pro. So it goes by quickly, the years, the seasons, and you have to take advantage of it. So, you know, it hasn't gone according to plan, but like you said, it feels like it hasn't been that long, even though it's been 9 months already.
You are no stranger to injury this season. Mm-hmm. I've talked to Joao Klaus. I've talked to Celio Pompeo and Tomas Ostrak when they came back. It's a lonely process. It's no fun. You can only ride the bike so much and get so much fitness in that way. How do you get through something like that as an individual and then merge back with your team like you've had to do?
Yeah, you're kind of detached. So when you're injured, you don't travel. You know, you're not as much a part of the squad. But that being said, people check in and, you know, we get good care. So that's helpful, but just take it day by day. I think try to get better every day, get healthier. That's all you can do, and stay positive. I think that helps. Can't feel sorry for yourself or anything like that. That's just a slippery slope. So stay positive and take it day by day.
You know, I think people underestimate, we as fans sometimes forget, you're not a video avatar, right? That we can plop into the game and you're 100%. You come in, and even though you've run all these miles and you've biked and you've done all the things, I think Klaus once told me that his injury didn't hurt anymore last year, his butt did from the bike, right? You've done all the things, but you're really not game fit until you get game fit. That affects the team when so many people are getting injured and having come back with rhythm at least, right?
Yeah, rhythm. But like you said, nothing replaces game fitness. So you can run as much as you want, and it's not going to be the same intensity or the same type of running. You know, you try to replicate it as closely as possible, but it's never identical. So it does make it difficult, but it's all part of it. It's all part of it. You know, I see a lot of injuries at every level, Premier League, youth teams, you know, so it's all part of it. But I agree with that assessment that there's more to it than most people think.
Yeah. Do you have a moment, or have you had that moment where you're like, I'm back? Like, I feel like myself again.
I felt good in Vancouver, and I thought that was a tough game under pressure. They put in a lot of crosses. I felt good, but I think I can still establish a rhythm. I think that's essential, is once you get 3, 5, 7 90s in a row, that's when you really start to, you know, feel confident and become most like yourself.
So you said rhythm there. It makes me think of the word methodical. It seems like you're a very methodical player. I remember people getting really excited first time you kind of appeared before all the teams came out. I don't remember which game it was. And you were doing like a pregame warm-up that I think you do on your own. Is that something that you've done a long time? Is that for your mental space?
Yeah.
Physical? Both?
Yeah, it's something I do before every game. I'll just kind of go out by myself and like look around the field, see things ahead of time. That's what I try to visualize, see the game before I play it, and, you know, be ready for all those plays. It doesn't always go according to plan, but I think it's something that's helpful just to get in that mind frame, that like kind of area of the field. Like if I'm playing right center back that day, I'll go like mostly in the right defensive part of the field on each half. And if I'm playing on the left, I'll do it on the left. So like I'll try to get in the spaces that I'm going to be and look at the plays that I might make. So that's just part of my routine.
Have you always done that, or did somebody teach you that?
I don't think anyone taught me it. I'm trying to think when I started it. Maybe in college. And I've been doing it ever since. And it's a routine that I like, you know, even on like home pitches, you know, like the away team will always walk the field, get familiar with the pitch. But even during home games, I'll walk the pitch, see how it feels, see how it looks and all that. So it's a routine of mine and I'm going to stick with it.
And then deal with the unpredictability of the beautiful game
exactly.
as it comes, right?
Exactly. That's right.
So talk about, too, your center back pairings. Do you adjust when you know that you're starting and you've got either Timo to your side or whether it's Falu or somebody else? Do you prep differently for that? Do you guys talk? Because everybody's different.
Right. Everyone is different. I think for the most part, my behaviors are the same. That being said, there are slightly different behaviors. So let's say, you know, Falu's left-footed. Maybe I'm going to try to play him more on his left foot, stuff like that. Whereas Timo, I'll play more on his right, maybe. But for me, the most part, it's similar.
The changes in the season, you've seen a ton of changes. I think your first interview with me, you talked about in 6 years you'd have six different coaches. You're no stranger to change.
Yeah.
How do you get through that yourself and stay focused on what you need to do? And I think the team considers you a leader. Do you find yourself helping them along too and being like, we gotta stay focused no matter what's going on all around us?
Yeah, I try to. I like to think of myself as a leader. So thank you for that. But it's not easy when there is so much change, but you can always, you know, control what you can control, and you can control yourself and how you react to everything that's going on. So you can't control, you know, necessarily who's coaching or who's sporting director or, you know, things that are going on, but you can control how you react to it, and you can control your own attitude and, to the best of your ability, control your own performance.
Six games left, if I can do basic math. I can't believe we're saying that when it felt like it wasn't that long ago that we had our first conversation when it was freezing cold. What does success look like for you and the team besides, of course, getting points? But are there any other things that are maybe harder to measure that you would say we finished the way I wanted to?
I think points is the most.
You're a competitor, so it's points.
I think it's wins, especially at home. From these last six, try to get as many wins, as many points as possible, and end on a good note. I think that's what we'll be aiming for. It's what the fans deserve in what's been a far from ideal season. You know, hopefully we can end on a high note.
That was St. Louis City center back Henry Kessler. I tried there at the end to get a little bit more about what success looks like from the end, but he was pretty honest about it. It's not just even points. It's wins. They want wins. He needs to have those results. He's a true competitor and really just I could talk to him longer than we did. We actually talked several minutes before I turned on the microphone and we compared. I'm currently in the KMOX studio and I'm in a hip brace. I had a couple of didn't have a hip replacement, but I had a couple of things that needed to be fixed. I'm going to blame them back on old soccer days. Been 6 weeks out. So I was, you know, we were doing our comparison and talking about reattachment. And sure enough, he showed me kind of his scar on his knee, which was his hamstring reattachment. I was complaining about my crutches for 6 weeks. He was in crutches for 9 weeks. And that was quite a scar, Henry. He definitely one-upped me on that one for sure. But Henry Kessler with great thoughts and, you know, whether he's got a captain's bat or not, I think that the team looks at him and I think he carries himself and speaks to everybody like he is the leader he is. And so if you miss that, make sure that you check out the City Spotlight. You can always find it free on the Odyssey app under the podcast sections. It also has previous content like all the pregame interviews we do with City players, Coach David Critchley, and more each and every week. Consider it your one-stop shop for all things to reference City on KMOX and our sister station, Y98. Make sure you tune in to Y98, by the way, for the next MLS regular season game for St. Louis City, home hosting Dallas, FC Dallas, this Saturday, September 6th. Kickoff is at 7:30, and we'll have pregame for you at 7 p.m. on our sister station, Y98. So make sure you tune into that. In the meantime, it's been a pleasure hosting this show. I hope you've enjoyed it and hope to see you on the next side. I'm Jen Cease, and you've been listening to the City Spotlight on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.